The GAA says today it's examining more secure tech solutions for training sessions following reports of a hacking of an online club session over the weekend. The session was being conducted via the Zoom app when it was hacked and bombarded with pornographic images. The incident has been reported to the Gardaí. What happened is now referred to as Zoom bombing. And before we came on air, I asked Elaine Burke, who's editor of Silicon Republic, what Zoom bombing is.
The phrase I wasn't familiar with up until about a week ago, because it's obviously gotten very popular now with the amount of people turning to Zoom while they're remote working and also remote socialising. So it basically means that these infiltrators of kind of these Zoom calls that might have like a public link that they've found or sourced somehow online, they'll join that call and use the share screen function to share some inappropriate material. Or they might even just join the call to heckle it and cause disruption.
Okay. We often hear that if something is free, you are the product. Is this as a result of people not paying for these sorts of services that this might happen?
It's a little bit like that, in that there are extra protection features in Zoom for paid accounts, where you might have more moderator type powers. You might be able to set certain restrictions to prevent these things happening. But I actually think it's a bit of a lack of understanding as well on the user side. A lot of people turn to Zoom really rapidly, and it is quite a frictionless setup to join Zoom and start a Zoom meeting really quickly. I think you don't even need an account initially to use it. But it's always better, if you're using services like this and you're not familiar with them, to kind of know the risks of using a free service, and know that that might mean that things are a bit more public and there's a bit more risk attached. Paid accounts for Zoom, they can set up extra moderators in their groups if they're managing a massive group. So different people will be able to mute people or kick people out of the meeting if you wanted them to. But actually, Zoom is reacting to a lot of the complaints on what's happened on the service in recent times. And they're enabling a lot of these security features as default. So a lot of people logging into Zoom today might find that they're asked for passwords for meeting that they weren't asked for passwords before. There's other protections, like waiting rooms are probably going to be rolled out by default as well, whereby you won't allow anyone to access your meeting unless you've kind of verified them first.
And Elaine, are there other platforms that you would advise people to use, or is it always that you should be looking for a paid version of these applications?
I think it's to go in and not be so blasé about just diving into a product that you don't really know anything about. And they are quite easy to use. They're made in a very smart way that these products are easy to adopt very quickly. But that doesn't mean that you should just dive in. So you have to really think about how you're using these things. You've put a link out there that brings in what you thought was a private enough meeting. Even if you had the paid account, you still shouldn't be putting in practices like that. You shouldn't be broadcasting these things. And it's just a bit of user awareness around how they're using these tools. We are probably a bit used to the idea of things like Facebook and Twitter, which are quite public, and we use them a bit willy-nilly in that way. But there are bad actors out there, and there's people who are probably just looking for public Zoom addresses that they can harass people on.
That's Elaine Burke there. After the break, we'll go to Beijing, and we'll also hear how an innovation at Cork University Hospital is helping parents see how their new babies are doing in the neonatal unit.